Amen. Do we have any believers in the house today? Amen. Praise God. How many believe what the Word says? The same Jesus is coming back. Amen. How many is ready? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Join with me and let all of our visitors know how welcome they are, how much we love them. How thankful we are that they came to worship the Lord. Now join with me and let's just thank Jesus. Can we thank the Lord this morning for His goodness, His mercy? Amen. For His saving grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, life has been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, He gives me strength to rise again. But I'm from the struggle. How I listen for His call. Heaven sounded sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday have your ticket. Pray that you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Church membership won't do it. Bible reading alone won't do it. Amen. Hearing messages alone won't do it. But if you've come to an altar of repentance, you've understood and recognized that you are a sinner and that you need the blood of Jesus applied to your life. with a broken and contrite spirit, kneel before Him. Ask Him to forgive you. How many is thankful that God is a forgiver of our sins? The amazing grace of God. Then, amen, we look forward to seeing you in heaven. Good to have you with us this morning. If you have your Bibles, we just want to get right into the Word of the Lord this morning. Go with us to the book of Genesis, chapter number 13. Book of Genesis, chapter number 13. Beginning with verse number 8. I'm going to read a very familiar passage of Scripture, certainly in the ears and the hearts of those Bible readers that know, amen, the plan of God and how the nation of Israel came into being. In the 8th verse of the 13th chapter of Genesis, "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart in the right hand, or to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou camest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for another day and another opportunity, God, to meet together. Thankful for those who have gathered here this morning. Father, I pray the anointing of your Spirit. Pray, God, that you would send down your blessing this morning. God, anoint these lips of clay. God is nothing more than a vessel and an oracle. God, that the Holy Spirit might speak to our hearts, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. Father, I pray that your word will grow deep into our heart. God, that we'll be submissive and obedient unto it. Father, if there's any needs under the sound of my voice today, God, we know that you are able. Father, especially if there's any lost here today, God, I pray that this would be the day, Lord, that they would ask Jesus Christ into their heart and into their life. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap, and you may be seated this morning. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. I want to bring this message entitled, "Be Careful Where You Pitch Your Tent." Be careful where you pitch your tent. Those of you that were here Wednesday night, just bear with me just a little bit. Some of this may be a little redundant, but I want to step back in time just a little bit. I want to go back and maybe lay the groundwork of where we are here in this particular passage of Scripture. We find reading the Holy Scriptures that God spoke to Abram. We found out that Abram, in the land that he lived, was a very wealthy land. In some 400 years, I think, after the flood, there had been this dwelling place where Abram and the generations prior to Abram had lived. And God had blessed them there. Abram was a very wealthy man, according to the Scriptures and according to the blessings of God. And seemingly everything was smooth. Everything was going well. It seemed like it was a place where his family may grow and his children may grow and maybe die there in that land. And God spoke to him and said, "Abram, I need you to leave this particular place where your fathers are and go to a land that I will show you." Not even telling him his destination, but just asking Abram by faith to follow the word of God. How many knows that God does not always explain in full where he's taking us? Amen. But I will assure you, if we will follow God with faith, if we'll be submissive and obedient to His will, to His Word, God knows what He's doing. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, "God knows what He's doing." Amen. There's not a shadow of a doubt in my mind that God does have it all in His hand. He knows exactly what He's doing. He put the will of God above His own desires. And there's a message there, but that's not where we're going this morning.
He also journeyed to a land unknown. Many of us are on that journey now. We're wondering in our life. We're wondering in our mind, God, what in the world are you having me to do? Why am I taking this particular direction in my life at this time? And little do we realize that if we'll just be obedient unto God, God will take us where we need to be. The first act that Abram did in the new land was to build an altar. Let us never, ever forsake the altar of God. Amen. It doesn't necessarily have to be this wooden structure here that is covered with carpet, but it does need to be a place of contact. We never need to fail to realize the importance of connecting with the Spirit of God. And on a daily basis, in fact, sometimes if you're like me, on an hourly basis, I need to connect with God. And I need to ask His leadership and His counsel and the decision making of my life and the direction that I need to go. And sometimes I just need the hand of comfort. How many knows what I'm talking about? In this world of strife and turmoil, sometimes we just need the comforting hand of God to ease us, to settle our spirit, amen, and to speak to our heart, amen, when we come to a place where we don't know which way to go or which way to turn. So it is very, very important to keep an altar open before God. And here's where it gets very interesting, and some of us, given this particular point in our life, might question, amen, our commitment to God, and might question what God's direction for is in our life. Because we read, according to the Scriptures, that not long after Abram left his comfort zone, left his home, and left those things that were familiar with him and his family into an unknown land, and there he acknowledged God by building an altar, we find that in that land there grew a great famine. Sometimes when we hear the Word of God speaking to us with anticipation, we go into that obedience and we are expecting a great amount of blessing and opening of spiritual doors, when always that may not be the case. And in the time of Abram, it was not the case. He walked into a land of famine. And I would imagine if the adversary was speaking to him, he said, "Man, you have messed up now." Can I get a witness this morning? Does the adversary ever speak to you and say, "Man, you've missed it now. You've missed it out with God. Look where you are. Look where you had it. Look how good things were, but look where you are now." And I would imagine Abram had to battle that particular spirit as well as we do today. But nevertheless, God again knows what He's doing. So we find that Abram began to travel a little further south. Amen. You know, sometimes it's good to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, but sometimes it's also good to move by faith. So he began to dwell and go down into the land of Egypt, and there, you know the story, how that he even identified Sarah, his wife, as his sister, because you know the story. He did not want Pharaoh and the Egyptians to take his wife, so he thought he had a great plan, and then it kind of sort of backfired on him, and he realized, or Pharaoh did, that it was his wife. But in this time, there was a great blessing out of Abram's obedience, out of the land of famine that he went down to Egypt, and Pharaoh blessed him with all kinds of possessions, even more than Abram had to begin with. You can read in the Bible, he gave him more cattle and more sheep and more men servants and more women servants, and all of these things begin to bless him. So, and I want you to pay close attention to this. Abram entered into the land of famine, followed obedience, the word of God, and left out of Egypt with more than he went into it with. Sometimes it's not a pleasant situation to go into things that God has in order for us, but I will assure you, if you'll hold on to the word of God, stand steadfastly in faith, you'll come out better than you went in. Amen? Glory to God. Always with the Lord. Now, when he left Egypt, he did something that was familiar with him. He went back to the first place that he came when he left his father's land, where he had built an altar. Glory to God. Brother Chris was sharing with me this morning. I know he hears me testify a lot about the Little Rock Mark Church where my granddaddy pastored, where I was born again, and thank God saved and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I was growing up with him. And certainly that's when I'm in Rock Mart and able to travel down Litchfield Street, I can see that. But, you know, and that's a natural place. But How many know sometimes it's good to go back to that spiritual place? Amen. Where we first met the Lord. And Abram saw the necessity to go back to where he had built the altar. Something that was familiar with him. Something that he had given to God. Something that he had sacrificed and laid a place that, amen, that was holy unto him. And he goes back. And it's very, very important to know at that altar, he begins to consult with God. And he begins to ask God again to lead him and to guide him. Can I remind you, if there is ever a destination or a place in your life where you seemingly have lost sight, where you seemingly have lost focus of what God has in store for you, can I remind you to go back to the altar? Can I remind you to go back to the place where God's Spirit speaks to us and he will give you direction? Amen. He will reaffirm that commitment in your life. I'm so thankful, amen, that when confusion and stress and strife begins to enter into my spirit, I know where to go. Amen. I go back to where it all started. I go back to where I felt the holy presence of God. And I've never found him to be unattentive or uncaring. So now we find that Abram has gone back to where he first built the altar. And he prays to God there. Who's ever heard of an attitude adjustment? It's become kind of comical because sometimes it comes with a physical bump on the head or something. But let me tell you something. There's not a Christian alive that doesn't need an attitude adjustment every once in a while. Not because of the spirit that is within us, but because the flesh that houses that spirit. I don't know about you, but I have to keep tight reins on my flesh. Oh, come on. Folks, say amen. Or oh me or something. Man, I have a daily battle with my flesh. I heard a preacher once preach, there's a little Cain and Abel in all of us. And it's constantly warring. And I have to pray that under subjection. And I have to pray the prayer that Jesus so wonderfully prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but thine be done. If we'll continue to pray that and keep our flesh under subjection, God can and will use us and will direct us. So now we find where we are now when I read the scripture. We're at a place where Lot's possessions has grown and Abram's possessions have grown. And there seems to be a little strife. In fact, not only seems to be, there is. Somebody knows where there's smoke? There's fire. Amen. And we better control it before it becomes a wildfire. So those cooler heads prevail, and Abram says, let not there be any strife between thy herdmen and my herdmen. Aren't we in fact brethren? Aren't you in fact the son of my brother, my nephew? There's plenty of land here. Let us separate ourselves. And this is where praying in the altar really helps. This is where praying, not my will, but thine be done, is very beneficial toward us. Because we learn to pray, God, you know the big picture. You know what's best for me. I don't. I can only see the present, but you are the holder of the future in my hand. God, lead me, guide me, take me where you want me to go. God, help me to put blinders on and neither look to the right nor the left, but to faithfully follow you where you would have me to go. Abram says, you know what? There's plenty of land. You make the first choice. If you choose the left, I'll choose the right. If you choose the right, then I'll take what's left and I'll go that way. Lot, we don't read, other than maybe over in the 18th chapter, that Lot was a righteous man. There are a lot of righteous folks in the world today. There's a lot of wonderful Christians. Sometimes in our busyness, sometimes in our own desires, to be quite frank with you, sometimes in the desire of the eyes, we stamp our possession on something without consulting God. We make decisions that we think is right for us without asking God to lead us. Doesn't mean we're unrighteous. Doesn't mean we're unholy. Doesn't mean that we're unsaved. In fact, it may just mean that we're just a little bit too preoccupied. Could be that we already have our mind made up. I don't know about y'all, but when my mind is made up, it is very difficult to change it. Do I hear a high-pitched amen from the back corner of the church where my wife sits? I almost expected to see her hand raised saying, "Preach it, brother." But sometimes without consulting God, we make decisions. We make choices. How many knows decision and choices will affect your life? Either to the good, or sometimes to the detrimental or to the bad. Lot began to look, and without consulting God, without saying, "God, you know what's best for me," he looked at the physical conditions or the outlay of the land, and he surmised that I want to go where the plains of Jordan are and where the water, where the land is well watered, because he was already thinking about the possessions that he had, and this looked very appealing to him. And, you know, sometimes given the benefit of the doubt, we read that scripture, God will give us the desires of our heart. I believe that, don't you? But I also question, what are the desires of our heart? If our heart's not where it needs to be, there may be wrong desires in our heart. So Lot chooses what looks appealing to his natural eyes. We find out later that Lot didn't go into this totally blind. He knew that there was sin in Sodom. He knew that the men were unrighteous. He knew that there were some vile things going on. But he thought that he could live safely and religiously on the outside of Sodom. So he traded that for the alluringness of his eyes. And he said, "I choose the plains of Jordan because it's well watered." Now, let me tell you something. Had Abram not been to the altar, sometimes we don't take things right because we hadn't been to the altar. Sometimes I will suggest to you that if you had been to the altar first, some of those things that were said, it wouldn't hurt you near as bad. But we hadn't visited the altar lately, so we're a little puffed up because Lot took the best one. I know I've told you about me and my brother, and I want to go into that, but there was a lot of jealousy between us. Amen. He was smart and I was good looking. And and he was truthful, and I tended to sort of spread it on a little bit, as you just heard. But given the choice sometimes, if he made a choice and I thought, "Oh my Lord, that's what I wanted," a little bit of jealousy there, a little bit of envy, a little bit of strife. But because Abram had been to the altar, I cannot specify that enough. Because Abram had been to the altar. Glory to God. You want to get something good out of church? Why don't you go to the altar before church service ever starts? Amen. It doesn't have to be here. You can go to the altar before you leave your home. You can come in the back door with a spiritual altar of glorifying and praising God. God, just lead the service tonight. God, just have your will and way. God, bless the singers. Bless the musician. God, bless and anoint the man who brings the word of God. Lord, I'm here to serve and worship you. Man. We all need to take more advantage of the altar. But because Abram had been to the altar, he had a sweet spirit about him. Don't you just love folks with sweet spirits? And you hug their neck and you really think, they really mean this. You ever hugged a person's neck that you don't think been to the altar lately? But you grab hold of one of them, bend to the altar, they almost cut your breath off. There's something in them. Glory to God. There's a song we used to say, well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. So Abram said, that's fine. That's fine. I'll take the mountainous, desertous area. You go on and dwell in the plains, the well-watered plains of Jordan. And this should disturb every one of us Bible readers today. And it stirred me this week. Lot voluntarily pitched his tent towards Sodom. Let that sink in a little bit. Many times we're at a place in our life that we have voluntarily gone. But we don't like to accept that. It's because of other factors. It's because of other people. It's not my fault. It's not my blame. It just happened to be. But Lot voluntarily pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, let's look a little bit maybe into the mindset of Lot. Lot is thinking, I can still live holy and righteous here because I can enjoy the blessings that the land is giving me, and I can still stay away from the lust of the flesh and the vileness and the things that are going on in the world. But he didn't pitch his tent away from Sodom. I mean, those words mean something. But he pitched his tent toward Sodom. There is a reason that the wiles of the devil work. Because it entices those of us who have pitched our tent toward the lust of the flesh rather than away from the lust of the flesh. Putting ourselves many, many times in compromising positions. He that knoweth to do good doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now you pull your toes in for just a moment and repeat these words. Brother Eddie, I love you. Remember those words. He that knoweth to do good doeth it not. How subtle can that be? I'll tell you how subtle that can be. Remaining absolutely quiet in a controversial conversation that you know is absolutely not biblical or and is also ungodly. But because we remain silent, we don't want to get involved. We don't want to get pegged as a holier than thou. We do not want to wear our religion on our sleeve, so to speak. So we just back off. Oh, me. Come on, oh me. Spiritually, we are pitching our tent towards Sodom. And I'll tell you, you can live a holy and righteous life in the midst of a perverse and evil world. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you also say it ain't easy? It ain't easy. Come on. When you flip things on, when you read signs, when you see things that are coming on, when you even are involved in conversations today that 10 or 15 years old would have been an abomination unto God. Let me tell you something. If it was an abomination to God 15 years ago, what changed? God didn't. God didn't. Many of the world today, many of the religious world today, we want to get as close, amen, to God as we can, but we also want to pitch our tent toward the world. There was a time when we preached, man, that we do not need to be like the world. Man, I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. But we're supposed to be a holy people under God. We claim to be Christians that said we are Christ-like. But can I tell you today, it really alarms me when the churches and the religious sections of the world today have pitched their tents just a little bit too close to the world or too close to Sodom and have actually tried to mimic the world by the actions of the church. It never was intended to be that way. Man. Glory to God. I'm not saying don't love them. I'm not saying don't fellowship them. I'm just saying don't get mixed up in the things of the world just simply to try to fit in with the world. You'll never fit in. As long as you're living for God, you're going to be an outsider. Praise God. Abram said, that's fine. That's good. Now comes the separation of Abram and Lot. Two different mindsets. One seeking what appeals to the eye. The other seeking the will of God. The will of God. I love the testimonies of the faith where saints of God say, you know what? I prayed about it and, you know, I really desired, I really wanted this and I just could not get that okay from God. Thank God. Thank God that he said no. Because we don't know what the end result of that would be. But God does. And Abram said, I'm going to be happy wherever I go. God continued to bless him. The words Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. There's a scripture in the Bible that alludes to the fact that the wife is made overcomer or sanctified by her husband, maybe, and vice versa. And thank God I can relate to that. But I can also relate to the opposite of that. There's been many, many times when one spouse would try to lead the other. And that other spouse, that wasn't born again, began to say, okay, if you'll go with me, then I'll go with you. You heard that? Come on, if you'll make a sacrifice and go with me to some of these places, then I in turn will go with you. We do that, we have destroyed that person's confidence in us. Because we make, amen, a commitment to follow God and to turn from the evilness of the world. You'll never win anybody by going to the pig pen with them. You can go to the edge and pull them out. Thank God somebody come down to the pig pen and pull me out. They didn't come down there and say, ooh, let me get in there with you, brother. They said, you don't have to be there. You don't have to live like that. There's a better way. Turn to your neighbor. There's a better way. You don't have to dwell in the pig pen of sin and shame and evilness. There is a way out, and his name is Jesus. And he died on the cross for Calvary, for you, for me, and he'll bring you out of that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. There's a danger of dwelling too close to sin. Praise God. There's a danger of compromising. Because more times than not, the gravitational pull of sin tends to pull us away from our commitment to God. It's dangerous territory. Oh, Brother Eddie. I can still be a Christian and do this. I can still be a Christian and do that. Sure, sure you can. There's great testimonies of that. Why would you want to put yourself in a position where it's always facing you. It's always confronting you. It's always drawing you and alluring you. Man, tell you how subtle it is. When I was running a bread route and I was driving, you know, and I was listening to a radio and I was driving back and forth, and I have this tendency to whatever song was on the radio last, I sing it or hum it or whistle it without even thinking. I'm bebopping down through the bread aisle, and you know, it's pretty much widely known that my regular customers that I am a minister, and I'm going down the bread aisle and I'm whistling this tune, and this guy steps up and said, "Preacher," I said, "you didn't realize what you're whistling?" I didn't even realize I was whistling. It was one of the beer commercials that they have on the radio. That morning, my tent was pitched a little too close to Sodom. Well, Brother Eddie, it was on the radio. Last time I looked, there's knobs on the radio. Or buttons. Are these little things now? Pandora's box. You just program what you want to hear. God, give me that program. That I just hear your word. No advertisement. No alluring advertisements from the world. I just want to hear your word. I just want to hear your blessing. I just want to hear your direction. God, speak to me. Lord, I want to bring an altar of praise and worship unto you every day of my life. Guard me from the gates of Sodom. And I thought about this. If your tent is pitched toward Sodom, it's just my way of thinking, where's the door of your tent that you look out every morning? First thing you see. Glory to God. The Bible says, shun the very appearance of evil. But if you're waking up to it every morning, can I tell you, after a while, it begins to look pretty good. And can I also tell you that feeling of, well, everybody else is doing it. God's still blessing them. How many have found out now that our reward is not on this earth? Our reward is in heaven. Put your hands together if you know that, if you found that out in the Word of God. There is a danger of dwelling too close to sin. There are several scriptures and several magnificent events that take place from the separation of Lot and Abram to where Abram now is and Lot is still dwelling toward Sodom. Wars begin to take place. The king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, and there's fighting there, and Lot gets apprehended and taken away, and his goods are taken away, and Abram comes to his rescue. Abram takes 300 of his strongest men, and they go and completely annihilate the people that stole Lot out of his home and return him back to where he was. And then there comes this time when the perverseness and the evilness and all of the things, I'm not going to get too explicit, but your Bible readers know what began to take place in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cries came up to God, and God sent two angels. Now this is where it gets very interesting to me as a Bible reader, and I know I've only scratched the surface, but I'm thinking not many, many years ago, Lot was dwelling on the outside of Sodom with his tent pitched towards Sodom. And now I'm reading where the two angels come into Sodom and Lot is sitting at the gate of Sodom. That may cold chills go over anybody else but me. When you pitch your tent too close to the sinful nature of the world, years may pass, times may pass, but if you're not very, very committed to God and very, very careful, you may find yourself sitting at the very gate of the things that God has told you to shun. And if that does not alarm you, then he invites the angels of God into the city, and he compels them to come into his house. Lot has already built a house inside of Sodom, according to what I read. So you may tell me you can live on the outside and still be holy and still be righteous and still be serving God. But I'm asking you, why in the first place would you want to pitch your tent towards something that you know is ungodly and evil and perverse in this land? If you don't look out, you may find that you actually built a house inside of it. And you're dwelling there. And I know God is merciful. And God saw the righteousness. And you may even combat that with Lot was still righteous even inside of Sodom. Yeah, but look what it did to his family. Look what it did to his possessions. How well does that watered plain look now, Lot? How enticing does that particular lay of land look now? When Abram dwelled in the mountainous and desert places, but God blessed him.
Amen.
Glory to God. I said, God blessed him.
I don't want to go into the desert. I don't want to live in the mountains.
But God blessed him. And he stayed close and committed to God. This whole thing started Wednesday night because my message text was, sometimes God asks hard things. But the end result is the wonderful blessing of God. So look where Lot is now. Because he pitched his tent too close. I said, Brother Eddie, God saved him. Yes, he did. Through the prayers of Abram. Come on. Through the prayers of Abram. If anyone's ever wronged you, why don't you offer up prayers on their behalf? But God, they pitched their tent. Abram, he didn't care. He didn't care. He said, that's my brother. That's my brother. God, if you can find 50 souls, would you spare it? Yeah. Couldn't find 50. Glory to God. Got it on down 40, 30, 20. Couldn't even do that. But thank God Lot was spared. And his daughters. And even his wife turned back. You see, once you've been subjected to the nature of sin, it'll still entice you. And even when you're trying to make a change in your life, many, many times you'll turn back. You got to have a mindset that I'm going to serve God in spite of anything and everything. There's nothing out there in the world that should entice you or draw you away from your relationship to God. I know we got to dwell there. I know we got to be there. I know we got to work there. I know that we got to fellowship there. But don't let it get in your soul. Don't let it draw you away from God. And I urgently instruct you and beg you, don't live close to that just because you can. Don't try to get involved in that just because it's fun or it's good to the naked eye. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He'll add these other things. We don't find where Abram went lacking for anything. Why? Because he knew how to obey God. He had the same mindset that the Apostle Paul had. Wherever I am, therewith I will be content in this walk of life. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt that God will sustain me. Man, my faith is not in the things of this world. My faith is in my saving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you put your hands together for the Lord one more time this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you stand? Heads bowed all over this congregation. Please close your eyes. Saints of God, please be praying. Ask yourself this question. Have I got too much of the world in me? Are my desires leaning more toward my own material things than they are to my spiritual relationship with God? Then maybe it's time to take down the tent and move it back to safer ground. Don't put yourself in a position where the allurement of the world and the enticement of the world is so great that you have to battle it every single day of your life. The first thing is to revisit the altar. The altar where you first got acquainted with the Lord. There's nothing wrong than returning to the altar. Many people say, oh, they backslidden. They got, no. Abram had not backslidden. Abram just recognized the strength of revisiting the altar. This altar is open this morning. If you would like to revisit, if you would like to rededicate, if you would like to reconsecrate your life to a loving God, then this is the day. Still, please, nobody looking around. Please be reverent to the move of the Holy Ghost this morning. Is there one? You know your lives? I do not. But I will ask you this, while every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you would like this pastor to pray with you, I won't come get you, I promise I won't do anything, I'll just put you on my prayer list this week, then would you raise your hand? God bless those wonderful hands. I love you. I appreciate you. I want to see each and every one of you in heaven. God bless you. Is our prayer. Brother Jim.
Let's all just gather around.